turn your Bibles to Galatians
chapter 6 and be ready for to read our verse. Show of hands, have you ever sown any kind of seed in soil? Wow, not many farmers around here, not many gardeners. Am I on here? Have you ever sown any seeds? Assuming they grew and produced a harvest, did that seed produce in return one fruit? Or was there something of a bounty of return? I think I know your answer. Look at the sunflower. You put one seed in the ground and you might get 500 seeds from that sunflower. Or a tomato, you know, many fruits from one seed, and the seed is in the fruit. Think of an orange tree producing year after year from that one seed. And an acorn becomes a mighty oak with all its little acorns. And the squash seed that we've seen around here lately, tenfold from that seed, right? And don't get me started on pepper plants. There is an underlying principle that what is sown will produce a harvest. This is important. The harvest will be greater than what is sown. So just remember this. Our passage for meditation this evening is Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8, and I'll read that for us. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. This principle is obviously true in the spiritual world, as I just talked about seeds. But Paul is pointing out that it is also true, also to be understood in the spiritual world. Paul says to the Galatians believers, now this book is written to Christians, so just remember that reference as we go through all of this. He says, you are in Christ and you have the Holy, I'm paraphrasing. You're in Christ and you have the Holy Spirit in you. If you walk in the Spirit, you will realize, or it will be produced in you, the fruits of the Spirit, which are from chapter 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and more. We can view walking as synonymous with sowing. And so your harvest will be these desirable qualities. And if you sow to the flesh, your harvest will be immorality, impurity. This is also from chapter 5. Sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. The seed that you sow, that will you reap. That will be your harvest. When the scriptures say, do not be deceived, they highlight the possibility that we can be deceived. We deceive ourselves. You can observe any life in Scripture and apply this principle. I chose Mordecai and Haman. So, as you know the story of Mordecai, he was an exiled Jew in Persia under King Ahasuerus. Yet he served God as an exiled Jew, right? There against his will. He heard of a plot to kill the king and warned through Esther of the plot to kill the king. And so here he was sowing. So he's sowing to righteousness. Why did he care about the king? This king's, you know, is his captor. But he did, and the guys were caught and taken care of. Haman hates Mordecai. He doesn't hate him about because of this plot to kill the king that was foiled. He liked the king. He worked for the king. He was a pretty high up guy. But he hated Haman for not bowing to him when he gave the command that everyone would bow to him. Mordecai would not bow to him. So he hated him for it. And so he started a plot to kill all the Jews just to get back at Haman. Right? They were going throughout the land, they were going to kill all the Jews. So Mordecai and Esther are working out the details on how to plead to the king for their people. So God orchestrates the circumstances. While Ahasuerus, he can't sleep one night, so he's read to from the book of memorable deeds. Isn't that cool? The book of memorable deeds. I like that. Every family should have that. So Mordecai is finally recognized, and as you know, Haman had to recognize him. He's finally recognized for his faithfulness to the king. So here he's reaping a reward for his faithfulness. Then Esther exposes Haman, his plot to kill the Jews, and Haman is hanged on the very gallows he prepared for Mordecai. So he reaped what he sowed. Whatever one sows, that will he also reap. This is a principle true in so many areas of life. God is not mocked. Mordecai reaped the reward of righteousness, and Haman reaped destruction. The harvest comes from what is planted. If you want tomatoes, you plant tomatoes. Try this on. A man's character and condition is the harvest of his habits. The unbeliever sows mainly to corruption. But, you know, there's some good things. The principle remains. So if you do some good things, you're going to reap some temporal rewards for that. And the unbeliever can see a connection to that. People understand that. But in Christ, we are set free from that bondage of the will. We have reaped Jesus' harvest of righteousness by being in Christ. So, brief explanation, Jesus lived that perfect life that we couldn't, and we reaped his harvest by trusting in him. Salvation in Christ and peace with God. So we've gained that harvest of eternal life through him, but in our day-to-day life, the principle remains. You reap what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, we'll harvest to the flesh. If we sow to the Spirit, we'll harvest to the Spirit. Sow to the flesh, lose joy, lose peace, lose self-control, and so on. Sow to the Spirit, reap greater joy, greater peace, and a multitude more. You could even say, promote the one will prevent the other. You can get that from Galatians 5:16. It says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. When you spend your time sowing to the Spirit, you crowd out the flesh. You ever notice that? So I was looking at my tomato plants today, and they were taking a beating from the sun. I watered them yesterday morning, and they were really hurting. And they were wilting. And so I'm out there, I'm watering, I'm telling Noah to water as I leave early. And I'm driving here, and I'm looking at all the weeds alongside of the road. Nobody's watering them, nobody's doing anything for them, but those weeds are thriving. That's how it is. The weeds don't have any problems. They'll grow all by themselves, but you have to actually plant something good to get a good harvest, to reap a good harvest. Remember this quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson. Sow a thought and you reap an action. Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character, you reap a destiny. Backing up in Galatians in 4:19, Paul says, my little children for whom I am in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. So we get from that passage the idea that we become a Christian, but are we mature when we become a Christian, or are we considered a baby Christian, a young Christian, and don't we grow up in the Lord? Well, you can see that what Paul is saying, until Christ is formed in you. So when we're saved, we're set on a trajectory, and we are being molded and shaped into the image of Christ, but we don't start off there. Sow to the harvest. We all know the journey. There are plains and hills, valleys and peaks along the way. Every step adds to the story of Christ being formed in us. Holiness is a harvest. Our Christian experience is affected by what we are planting in the soils of our life. Do you desire more fruit in your life, greater joy, contentment, and victory? Keep sowing good seeds, and by faith, receive that harvest that God will produce in you. Crowd out the weeds with the good. The farmer has some bad days, so do we. He has some bad seasons, and so do we. But he mustn't get too discouraged, because that one seed can sometimes produce 100-fold. He can't control the growth. He's dependent on the Lord to bring that harvest. He plants it in faith. So don't lose heart when the circumstances aren't what you hoped they would be. Think about Joseph. He could never have imagined that Joseph, who was given the dreams by God, he could never have imagined that his brothers would sell him into slavery. You know, how did that work out that way, as Joseph's thinking? A little aside, you know that you can't find a prayer of Joseph? If you read through, you can't find a prayer. We know what Joseph's life was. We know that he trusted in God, but there's no prayer. There's no prayer of his in it. But that's an aside. But he couldn't have imagined that his father's favorite son, that this would happen to. He still trusted God. He fled from sin when he was tempted to sin. He sought to bless those with whom he had dealings, whether it was a guard over him or whoever. He sought to bless them. He kept sowing the good seed, and he reaped a harvest of righteousness, did he not? But let's be honest. We do lose heart at times. Things just don't go as expected. Almost I can say, do they ever? But things don't go as expected, and we feel the weight of our circumstances. There seems to be no way a particular scenario will turn out good. Look at Elijah when he killed the 400 prophets of Baal. And then Jezebel's after him, and so he goes, runs off into a place of solitude, and he says, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And what does the Lord do? He feeds him, and Elijah's lifted up. There is a time for lament, a pleading to the Lord for light in the darkness, reminding God of his covenant love for his people. Maybe we need to feed on the promises of God like Elijah was fed and restored by God. I'd like to give us some applications for this sowing and reaping a harvest. Just a few applications. Make the best use of the resources you are given. We're all given different resources. We all have different circumstances in our life. Make the best use of that. Look at Jacob. How he did when he was in that intolerable situation under Uncle Laban. He made the best, and it took years and years to see results from that, but God blessed him because he sowed to that harvest of righteousness. It is God who gives the increase, therefore sow in faith and wait on him. Remember that each act of obedience sown mingled with faith will bring a harvest. You know, an act of kindness leads to more acts of kindness. Sometimes we might think to ourselves, "Well, I don't know how to minister to somebody. I don't know how to do it." Well, you know, just do the first thing, just do it, and maybe I believe God will train us to do more acts of kindness and make us fill us with more kindness. An act of selflessness leads to more acts of selflessness. Same thing. Just start where you are and do it. And you will find yourself being more selfless. The fruit of patience comes by submitting to God when you're impatient. You know, you can be patient all you want if you're getting all your way. But when you're in a scenario, in a situation, just imagine in your mind, where do I get impatient? Well, that's when you need to be praying and asking God to give you patience, and you will get the fruit of patience. He will give it to you. But you don't get it when you're getting everything you want. You get it when you need patience. How do you develop the ability of long suffering? You suffer long. Spoil the child, teach them to be selfish, and the harvest will be the same. But train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so this passage is firstly a gospel passage. Sow to the Spirit and reap eternal life. Pursue God through Jesus Christ as the man who found the great treasure and sold all that he had and bought the field with that treasure. Pursue it. Make Jesus your treasure, and you will reap that abundant harvest of eternal life. Now that you have life, it is a good practice to examine your day-to-day sowing and improve upon your harvest. God can take the tiniest mustard seed of faith and move mountains. And so I'd just like us to, in closing, to consider, to take the time and look at your own life and look at what the garden that it is, and how am I sowing, and how can I better sow to that harvest of righteousness. You know, that little bit of effort. I remember when Pastor Josh said, talked about grace of just reaching up and turning on the faucet. We don't control what comes out, but we're reaching up. We're making that little effort to seek God, and he blesses that. And so that those efforts of obedience, those efforts of sowing, of thinking about that, the process of how God changes us, is a great meditation for you to sit when you're in your alone time, and say, just how am I sowing, and how can I better sow? Because it's not automatic. You know, your salvation you have is a free gift. Your growth in Christ, your reaping of that harvest, takes the effort. And I applaud all of you tonight for being here, because that is one of those efforts, for being with the people of God, ready to pray with the people of God. That is sowing to the harvest of righteousness. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time together, and we ask, Lord, that you would continue to be with us as we pray for one another, lift one another up in prayer, and just cry out to you for your help, for your the many benefits, Lord, that we have in Christ. Lord, wash us with the word, and wash us even in prayer, Lord, as we bring our request to you. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm gonna use this mic because I remembered that we have some brothers and sisters who are out in the parking lot. I want to make sure that they can hear us. I just want to begin by saying tonight, as we go into our time of prayer, it's a privilege and an honor to pray with you.